messages that I started in the old year, and I've been talking about having close encounters with God. I want some close encounters with God. That's what's all going to matter. I love what Brother Schuyler said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I want you to know that in this world, I want to get as close as I can. And I talked to you about Joseph and how he had close encounters with God in a dream. I talked to you about Adam, who had the closest encounter that any human being ever had. He was created by God, and that you and I one day are going to be restored into that relationship. And I also tonight want to talk to you about Moses. Moses. Somebody say Moses. Amen. Because in Numbers chapter 12, that's not in your scriptures that I'm going to put on the overhead, but in Numbers chapter 12, God told him, said in the scripture, that I will talk to Moses like a man would talk to his friend. And I want you to know tonight that God had a close encounter experience with Moses, and Moses had a close encounter experience with God. And what God did for Moses, do you think it's just for Moses? I believe it's not just for Joseph, it's not just for Adam, it's not just for Abraham, but I believe it's for Schuyler and Julia and everyone in this building tonight. I want you to stand with me so that we can have close encounters with the Lord. And you will know that these people that had close encounters with God were people that were not perfect, people that had problems, and people that had issues. Say that again. People that were not perfect, people that had problems, and people that had issues. Now turn around to your neighbor and say, he might be talking about you. Amen. Now tell your neighbor this. You can still have a close encounter with God. Amen. Amen. Let's read Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 33. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord for his presence. And while you're finding the scripture, I know my wife has already mentioned this morning, but I want to, associate pastor, I wanted to thank everyone for giving themselves the time, the hours, the effort into our Christmas production last Sunday to glorify the Lord. We went through all those practices back on December the 8th and then got snowed out. And then we went all those weeks and then it all came together. And truly the scripture says, and truly we can say to God be the glory. Amen. And I know that some came from Best Buy, and I know you had visitors and friends, and the gospel was presented, and I just believe that the seed sown, that there can't not but help but be a harvest when a seed is sown. That is a law, amen? And so thank everyone, and all of the actors, the kids, there's so much that goes into it, and I do want to suggest give the Lord a thank offering for all that was accomplished, and we praise you for it, praise the Lord for it, amen? Exodus chapter 33:12-23. I believe it's in 13 that I'm going to start. If you're there, say amen. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Go to verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And 2019, I want you to think about this year ahead of us. And he said unto him, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up hence. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. Aren't you glad that he will do what he has spoken? For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know your name. Know who you are. Verse 18, and Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. There's Trinity right here, by the way. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And it shall come to pass. Verse 22, go to verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. but my face shall not be seen. What a close encounter with God. Father, tonight in 2019, we need you, as the song says, like the clouds and the rain and the sunshine. We need you in 2019, and we ask for close encounter, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody, I'm expecting. Amen. Tell somebody. Amen. I'm expecting. I am expecting. I said, are you expecting? The pastor said expectation. And I got on Facebook this afternoon just checking everybody out and seeing what's up there and try not to get grieved in my spirit when I see crazy mess up there. But I see some good stuff up there. And an evangelist we saw at Beaufort, Pastor Jerry Sean Strong, who I didn't particularly like him, but he was all right. Nothing wrong with him. Did a good job. But he put up there, he had a book, picture of a book called Expectation by Mike Brown. He said, everyone needs to read this year. And I said, Expectation. So I went to Amazon and I got a used copy to order it. Amen. So, that's not an accident. Amen. As this man lives in the Midwest somewhere. So God is speaking to his church, and I'm expecting, amen? I'm expecting health. I'm expecting prosperity. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting my family to be saved. I'm expecting lives to be changed. I'm expecting, I've been praying and praying and praying, and I know God is a prayer-answering God, and I'm expecting God to do amazing things. He said he would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, and to him be glory by Christ Jesus forever. He is a prayer answering God. He is the dream maker, and I am expecting. I wish you would give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. If you are expecting as well, show us your glory. Now, I've been talking to you about Bible characters, and boy, isn't there some characters? Amen. And before you think, laugh at that, you just look at Wilson. There's some characters around here. Amen. And before you laugh at that, just look around Westmoreland. I mean, we got some characters here, amen, including the one standing in front of you, praise God. But we have learning that these people had close encounters with God. And if they did, then we can. You see, Moses was many things. He was a deliverer. He was a lawgiver. He was a prophet, prince of Egypt, founding father of a new nation. He was a songwriter. You notice that there's a couple of psalms that Moses wrote. He wrote songs. He was an author. He wrote a lot of the Bible, the first five books precisely, and others indirectly. But if you would encapsulate the entire life of Moses into one verse that best describes all that he was about, go to verse 15 of Exodus 33. This is his mission statement. This is his reason for existence. Is in Exodus 33, 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. That really sums who the man was. In other words, in this scripture, Moses is saying, God, I can't live without you. God, I can't live without you. I need the Lord. And how powerful that is, because let me tell you something. The secret to having close encounters with God is not a living a perfect sin-free life. It's not having a lot of money in the bank. It's not exactly the church you're a member of that may help or hinder. It's not your social position or standing. The secret of having close encounters with God is one word: desire. And that's what we find in Moses. He had a desire. He said, I can't go on without you. I don't want to know about God. Moses was saying, I want to know God. I don't want to just seek his hand, but I want to see his face. I don't want to just, again, know about God. See, a lot of us know about God, but I want you to know that you can know God. And really, that's all that matters. And I want us to look at the life of Moses. And how can you preach one sermon on such a life that was so filled? Well, I'm going to surely attempt it. How many of you know God works miracles in 2019? Amen. And I promise you this will be done within the next 2 hours. We're going to get it tonight. But no, what I want to do is show you those close encounters, the highlights, the mountain peaks. And D.L. Moody made this statement. He said that this, and I quote, Moses, spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And then he spent the last 40 years discovering what God can do with somebody who is a nobody. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Come on and give him praise here tonight. Hallelujah. What God can do with somebody that has a close encounter with God. So let's look at those three 40 years. 40, 40, 40. The first 40. Point number one. The first 40. Now the very first thing you need to understand about Moses and his close encounters with God is that before he delivered a nation, before he said, let my people go, before he parted the Red Sea, the Bible tells us it all started with his parents. You see, a lot of times it will make or break a person based on their parents and their close encounters with God. I want you to understand something, parents. If there's a byproduct of you having a close encounter with God. You see, there's some things you can't teach in an educational book. There's some things you can't lecture kids about. They just won't get it all the time. But I will tell you this one thing that will never depart from them all of the days of their life is if they know that their mom and dad has had an encounter with God. Now, mom and dad might not be perfect. Moses was not perfect, and we are not perfect. But I will tell you this. Some of my family, they had their ups and downs, and I could tell you that they weren't perfect. But my grandmother and some of my aunts and some of my family, I knew this. They had close encounters with God, and it come down, and it affected my life. And before Moses had a close encounter with God, his mom and dad were men and women, a woman and a man of faith, and they believed God and trusted God. And Lord, let it start in the home. Let it start with mom and dad. Let's get grandmas and grandmas. You say, well, I don't have kids at home. Well, if you got grandkids, if you got nieces and nephews, you can have a close encounter and it'll spill over into them. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his who? His parents. Because they saw he was a proper child. And that's not quite a very good translation. They saw in their child destiny. They knew that their child was a gift from God. By the way, this is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And I'm sure Pastor and I are going to discuss some things we may do to promote the supporting of alternative to abortion ministries. And I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that in every child and every baby that is born and dedicated, there is destiny. And they are destined to have close encounters with God. And notice it says here that they were not afraid. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was the king's commandment? The king's commandment was to kill all those sons. That's what the devil wants to do. Suicide, drug addiction, premarital sex, unplanned for pregnancies, all of these things that will bog down and keep a child in a cycle of poverty and need when God has better plans. Parents, it's up to us. And I'm speaking as a spiritual parent. I don't have physical children. One day we'll probably have adopt some. But I want you to understand that we're all parents in a sense. Let's give them influence. Let's let them know that there is a God that makes a difference. And you may not have your children in this church tonight, but there are children in this church tonight. Love on them. Be patient with them. Don't look at them with a scowl and tell them that they've got to do this X, Y, Z. Embrace them with love and explain to them why you're saying have a close encounter with God. Can I get a witness out here today? Oh, somebody shout amen. I say all that, but if they get close to my car, I'm going to give them a scowl. But listen, it started with the faith of his parents. My great grandmother, my mother, see, you might not know this, but my mother and father did not attend church. And all of my life, even to beyond college, my mom and dad didn't go to church. How did I get in church? My great grandmother, Geneva Joyner, took me to church. She was a preacher. She had a little church. In fact, she couldn't pastor a church. She had been in a divorce many, many years ago with my natural great-grandfather. I don't know all the story, the details. Very rough time. And this is before she was converted. And after she got saved and she remarried to the grandfather I knew, It didn't matter to the church if you ever had a divorce. Didn't matter if it whenever it happened. If it was before conversion, they would not give you license to preach. She said, "That's okay. You didn't have to give me a license. God gave me a license." And so she built a church, praise God. And we had a church and souls were saved. And Carolyn Edwards, our very own Carolyn Edwards, was a part as a teenager of the, I remember when Carolyn was a teenager in the church. Oh, she's not here tonight. Oh, too much. She missed her close encounter. Amen. But folks, I'm here to tell you that my close encounter started with a godly grandmother. And oh, listen, let's have some close encounters so that the next generation can be ready and hungry for a move of God in 2019. Let's bring them in and let's show them the way and let's lead the way and let's love the way. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight for close encounters for the next generation. Now, the Bible says that after Moses was released, he grew up into the courts of Egypt. What an opportunity. What an education. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 that he learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He was educated, refined, cultured. Egypt was the leading cultural and educational center of the entire world of that time. And God put his man right there, not by happenstance, but by providence. I want you to know that God will order your steps and lead you. And if I had some young people in here tonight, I would talk to them about how God leads and guides and he directs. But there came a time when Moses began to realize, hey, I'm not Egyptian, I'm a Jew. And he began to realize that the Jews were being mistreated and they were part of his ethnicity. And something began to yearn in his heart. And so he went down to check on the Jewish brothers and sisters. And he saw one Egyptian mistreating a Jew. And something rose up within him and said, "That's not right." And he had words with the Egyptian. And the Egyptian and Moses got into a tangle. And before it was all said and done, one of them walked away and the other one was dead. Moses had took it in his own hands. Somebody say he took it in his own hands. And he got in trouble. And I'll tell you, friend, that we better be careful that we not take things into our own hands. We better not get ahead of God. There is a day. If you want to have a close encounter, you got to wait for the timing of the Lord. You got to listen, just because something's not right, does it mean you have to immediately act or immediately do something? Sometimes you should. If somebody is being hurt or violated or raped or about to be kissed, somebody's about to pull a gun, I'm going to go for the jugular. Then I'll pray about it later. Come on. If somebody comes in my house at 3:00 in the morning, the exit interview is after the gun fires. Can I get a witness? We're not here to do a counseling session. I don't have time to figure out what you. If you're in my house and you violated the welfare of my family that I'm responsible for, I've got a duty before God to stand up and protect my family and those who I'm responsible. Can I get a witness out there? But let me tell you, old Moses got ahead of God, and he killed the Egyptian. He shouldn't have done it. You see, we can get ahead of God, and Moses, in his first 40s, because of his parents and because of his upbringing. But God was putting something into his heart. But because of his mistake, somebody say the word mistake, he found himself in exile. That's the first 40 years. But is God finished with Moses? Did he really mess up that bad? Well, let's go to point number two, the second 40 years. Because now we find Moses no longer in the court of Pharaoh and in the university classroom. He's no longer trying to be a social justice politician. We now find this mighty man Moses, this mighty man in word and deeds. We now find point A, that he's a complete failure. A complete failure. Oh, let me just let that sink into the room for a moment. There are times in your life you're going to feel like you're a complete failure. Why aren't my kids in church when I raised them to go to church? The devil whispers, because you're a failure. Why am I doing something that I feel in my heart to do? The devil says, because you are a failure. And it's true, you may have failed. But let me tell you that failing is one thing, but being a failure is another thing. Because Moses failed morally. Has anybody ever failed morally? Don't raise your hand. Moses failed financially. I mean, he had all the money in the world in Egypt. Now he has not two nickels to rub together out in exile. He failed morally. He failed financially. He failed politically. He could no longer live in royalty. He goes from being a mighty prince. He goes from commanding armies. Where is he at now? He has found himself to a tribe by underneath a man by the name of Jethro. And this man Jethro has several daughters. And he has flocks and herds. And Moses wanders and he finds himself in Jethro's home. And he marries one of Jethro's daughters. And guess what Moses is doing now? Is he commanding armies? No. Is he riding in splendor? No. You know what he's doing? Dirty. He's got sandals on. He's got dirt between his toenails. He never had that in Egypt. Come on, y'all. Loosen up a little bit tonight. He was in a place of humility. Let me tell you something. Before God uses any of us, he must humble us. Amen. Before honor comes humility. And so here's a lesson on humility. And Moses could, think of what Moses could. I can just see that interview with Jethro. Moses, here he is, you're big, bulky, you know, strong guy, tan, debonair. And he's coming in there and he's like, Jethro, have you got some armies to command? No. Have you got any jobs I can do where I'm leading? No. What can I do? Well, you can take care of the sheep. Amen. And Moses, the point I'm trying to make is, listen, don't ever be too spiritual that you can't take care of the sheep. Amen. Now, you will never have a close encounter with God if you're too good to clean the bathroom of the church. Can I get a witness? We got a lot of people that want to preach. Pastor, I know what it was, and you know what it is. You get a lot of phone calls. Can I preach in your pulpit? And that's all they want. They want to stand behind the pulpit, get under the light. But let me tell you, it's grunt work. It's putting your back into it. It's sweeping the floor. It's pulling out a vacuum cleaner. It's rolling up your sleeves. Let me tell you, if you ever get too good to do a lowly, humble task, then God can't ever. You can never have a close encounter with God. Listen, God took Moses and humbled him. But it was when he was humbled and when he was broken and when he had failed that's when he saw a flame of fire burning. Friend, you're about to see a flame burning. What is that flame? It's a little bush out there. It's just a little bush out there. It's just a little Sunday school class. It's just a little Royal Ranger class. It's just a little girls. It's just a little thing that I've got to do. The pastor's asked me to do. But let me tell you, when the flame gets a hold to it, God begins to speak. And take off your shoes. Quit running around and say, I'm on holy ground. And I'm about to have a close encounter with the Lord in 2019. You know why? It hit me the other day, Brother Philip. I like me and Brother Philip and Pastor Jim, we like getting these little nuggets, you know. But it hit me the other day. I always wondered why God said, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. I've heard it preached. You know, it's a sign of humility. I've heard it preached that, you know, it's a sign of holiness, you know. And I've heard all kinds of explanations. It finally hit me the other day why he told him to take his shoes off. Because the reason he told him to take his shoes off, because he wanted him to stay a little while. Right? I mean, if I go to Brother Philip's house and I talk with he and Sister Edna and we chat a few minutes, my shoes are on and my, you know, I'm just sitting there and, well, I'm about to go. Well, thank you. Good to see you. But if I go to Brother Philip's house and I slide off my shoes, I'm there to stay, brother. Pull out some Coca-Cola and let's have a chat. My friend, we got to pull off our shoes. We're in a hurry too much. Listen, God's not in a hurry. We are. It takes patience. It takes time. We got to quit running for the door as soon as the pastor gives the altar call. I said it, didn't I? Well, I'm the associate pastor. You got to do it. You can't get rid of me. He's the only one that can do that. So you have to talk to him about that. Come on now. Amen. I'm going to take my shoes off for 2019. I'm going to tarry in his presence. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. Say amen tonight. He had a close encounter. A close encounter. Now, Moses went from one extreme to the other. And the other night, and it's amazing the time of this, but now Moses has gone from being mighty to being humble. Now he's gone from humility to what I call false humility. Now, I want to say something here. Humility is one thing. Realizing you're not worthy, but only He's worthy. But false humility is hiding behind like the security blanket and using it as an excuse to do something for the Lord. Well, I can't do such and such. I this, I that. That's not humility. That's you just don't want to do it. You know what? Sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zone. Can I get a witness? And you're never going to have a close encounter with God as long as you stay on the boat. Remember Peter? Peter had to get out of the... And Moses, God said, Moses, from the burning bush, Moses, go down there and let my people go. And now Moses has gone from humility to excuses. Well, I can't do it. And I preached on two of them of Wednesday night. I'm going to preach on the other three next time. So I'm not going to get, you're not going to get that sermon tonight because I got to finish up quick here. But Moses goes, well, I can't talk and I can't do this. I can't do that. I. Sounds like somebody else. Satan always uses I a lot. Come on now. You know when it's false humility is when you start saying I a lot. And God told Moses, said, Moses, let me tell you something. I've called you. I've humbled you. I know you stammer and stutter. I know you're broken. But I'm, as long as you'll keep your shoes off spiritually, and as long as you'll stay before me, you can have close encounters and you can do the impossible. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight for the impossible. That's the first 40. That's the second 40. And now let's go quickly to the last 40. Because now Moses is no longer a young 38-year-old handsome debonair politician. He's now an 80-year-old man. But God has kept His hand on him. God has touched him and preserved him. And I just want to say something to many of you in our church. And I know at 47 years of age that I'm, every year that goes by, I'm getting closer to 50. And I know time is going by. I know now I'm at that point of life where I'm over half my life. You know, 47 times 2 is we're not going to figure it out. But I'm over halfway there. Amen. I'm halfway to glory. Amen. How about that? But I want you to know that as we get older, we may not move as fast. Yes, we may have some health issues, but never underestimate that you can have a close encounter with God. And it's not too late. Somebody say it's not too late. Well, I messed up. I said, it's not too late. Well, I can't, it's not too late. It's not, I don't care what you said, what you've done, what people have done to you, what life has done to you. You can have a close encounter with God. I don't care how old you are. Look, I'm going to tell you, the games aren't won in the first quarter anyway. The games are not won in the second quarter. The game I watched last night, first football game I watched in a long time. I kind of got out of it because of the kneeling situation. And then the Cowboys were doing so sorry, so I just give up on it. But, man, they were in the playoffs, and I was off last night. And I said, well, I'm going to watch them lose tonight. And praise God, it got down, Brother Pastor, to the last minute. And it still could have gone to the Seahawks. They had one final shot, the onside kick, which will trick up. All they had to do is the Seahawks could have won it, but the point I'm trying to make is it don't matter whether Seahawks or Cowboys, the game ain't won till the fourth quarter. Don't give up. I don't care if you're in the fourth quarter of life. God still got some winning things for you to do. He still got some good things for you to do. Doesn't matter your physician or your position. It matters His glory, and you can have a close encounter with God no matter what age. Amen. Truthfully, as we get older, we ought to be getting more of His glory, more wisdom, more knowledge, more prayers answered, more of His glory. So don't give up. Those last 40 years, here Moses goes before Pharaoh, and he confronts that enemy. And don't you be afraid to confront the enemy of sin, the enemy of temptation, the enemy of failure. And he confronts Pharaoh and says, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I don't know Him, and I don't intend to let them go. And I don't see Moses doing like some politician. Well, okay, we'll get back with you later. You know, Moses stood right there This man who had been humbled, this man who had failed, this man who was at the bottom, he'd heard from the Lord. He had a close encounter. 10 plagues. Plague 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The lice, the frogs, the darkness, all of it. Finally, the last night, the death angel comes through. And I'm telling you, brother and sister, when you need a close encounter with God is when the death angel is coming through. I want you to know nothing will take place. Finances, homes, accomplishments, degrees on the wall. The only thing that's going to matter when the death angel comes through is you've got the close encounter with the blood applied to the doorpost of your life. And I want you to know there was crying and death everywhere. And that's symbolic of our world. Death is everywhere. There's Satan steals, kills, and destroys. You see it on the news. You see it with people you work with. You see it out in Walmart. You see it everywhere in your family. There's death. And yet there's a group of people that are living. Maybe we do have our times where sometimes God will call a servant home. But I'll tell you something. That's just a promotion to even a greater close encounter. As long as the blood is applied. The blood is applied. Brother, you can survive through the darkest night. At midnight. And how many of you know it's midnight now? Moses guided them through the Passover. And by the way, a 60-year-old woman wrote Dear Abby and asked her advice on going back to college and getting her degree. She said, Dear Abby, when I get finished, I'll be 64. And she wrote back and said, well, how old will you be if you decide not to get that degree in 4 years? Come on. Now is the time. Today is the day. Let's do something for God. And Moses, through that night, I'm about to close. So this is one thing about preaching. There's a lot of stuff I'm trying to put in one sermon, but I want to get you to this point. Moses leads them out of Egypt. What a glorious day. And guess what happens? Everything just went great and everybody lived happily ever after. No, not quite. Well, I thought if I had a close encounter with God, my car wouldn't break down. No, that's not going to guarantee that. Your car may break down, but if you have a close encounter with God, your car may break down, but you won't break down. That's good. And Moses goes and brings the children of Israel where? Before the what? The Red Sea. And everything's going pretty good until Pharaoh starts coming. And they get between the Red Sea and Moses. An impossibility. Somebody say an impossibility. But let me tell you, a close encounter with God can take an impossibility into a possibility. What do, Lord? We have a close encounter with God. That's what we do. And after Moses cried unto the Lord said, stand up, lift up your rod. What's in your hand? Lift up your rod. That's 10 sermons right there. Another series. Folks, what's in your hand tonight? Come on. I know some of you didn't bring your Bible, but if you got your cell phone, what's in your hand tonight? Come on. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the rod of God. You lift it up towards that bankruptcy. You lift it up towards that divorce. You lift it up towards that mistake. You lift it up. And I promise you, God will split the Red Sea and you'll go walking through on the other side because of a close encounter with God. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? And Moses got those folks across that. Several things I could say about going through the Red Sea. See it at part, the impossibility. God is the God of the impossibility. Don't come up to me and say, well, we just can't do this. Remember, we started out this sermon talking about that. No, we can't, but God can. Amen. And so we got over there, and I'm coming to a close, I promise. He got over there, and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and Moses goes up to the mountain. And while he goes up there, he stays and tarries and tarries and tarries. And the people down there get discouraged. And you know the story. They created a golden calf and they gave up quick. Don't give up quick. Don't turn from God just because you're waiting on something. It's terrible consequences. Listen, you're going to face life one of two ways, with God or without God. Now, you may be disappointed in God, but you won't be ever disappointed by God. Amen. And so Moses goes down there and he sees the golden calf and he throws down the Ten Commandments and they break. And guess what? And then I'm going to close with this. Moses goes back up to the mountain and go to Exodus chapter 33. And this is where we pick up. And I'm bringing this message to an end. And Brother Clark, if you'll get ready to come, or come on and get ready to play. So what am I going to do? The people have sinned. I must be a failure. I failed at Pharaoh. I failed at Jethro. Sometimes I failed at the burning bush when I didn't embrace my calling. And now I must be a failure because the people you gave me are sinning against God. And you can imagine how broken Moses was again. But what was the answer? What was the resolution? A close encounter with God will change everything. And God began to talk to Moses. God began to tell some, and Moses began to ask God some things. Go to Exodus 33, 14 through 18. And this leads to some of the greatest close encounters of all recorded scripture. What do you mean? Look at Exodus 33, 14. Are y'all still there? Say amen. We're about to come and have a close encounter, so get ready. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at verse 15. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people of the face of the earth. Look at this, verse 17. Read it out loud. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. And thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Verse 18, read it with me. And he said, I beseech thee. I want a close encounter with God. I want to be closer than I've ever been before. And then go to chapter 34, verse 28. Chapter 34, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. 34, 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. There's your fasting. Has anybody said anything about fasting the last few days? And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Verse 29. And it came to pass, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, what, Pastor? That the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. You mentioned that earlier. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and the rulers of the congregation returned. And Moses talked with them. Look at verse 32. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandments all the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Look at verse 33. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Look at verse 34. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Until he came out. And he came out and he spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. Look at verse 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of his face shone. That's a close encounter. Pastor, can we get that close to God? This is certainly just for Moses, not for me. I'm here to tell you, there are people that I have seen the glory of the Lord on their countenance. There are people who I have been in their presence when I could feel the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this is something that's going to happen every single moment of every single day. We live in a real world. We have real work to do. But I promise you, in your spirit, Moses is not any better than us. He is a human being. And I want you to know that this is the Old Testament, by the way. And so what do we live in? We live in the what? And I promise you, whatever Moses had, if he had such an encounter with God. Now, your skin may not physically shine like Moses did, but I'm going to tell you, your heart will definitely shine. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, you can have a close encounter in 2019. Do you want it? Would you stand with me tonight? I want to be in such a position. I'll let you know when to start. Moses spent the first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent the second 4 years learning he was a nobody. He spent the last 40 years discovering what God can do with somebody who is a nobody. Well, you know, I close with this. You know, Moses actually failed later in life, and he was prohibited, in a sense, from going into the promised land. And that's another sermon for another day. So be careful not to lose your temper and get mad. That's something you want to deal with. It could have consequences. But let me tell you something. I promise you this. Moses did make it to the promised land. Well, I thought he went to the mountain. And by the way, that's another sermon. He walked. How many sermons is this going to have before it's over with? Moses walked to his own funeral. Amen. That's the way we all ought to be. Ask God. When God gives you to take us, we just walk to the bedroom, go to sleep, and we wake up in glory. Isn't that the way to go? Amen. When Moses had gone on to be with the Lord, Jesus came 4,000 years later. And Jesus went up on a mountain. We know it as the Mount of Transfiguration. And guess who he was talking to? He was talking to Elijah. And who else? So it sounds like to me Pastor Moses made it physically into the promised land. Now it took a while, but I promise you, when you have a close encounter with God, he will fulfill every promise. He will take you where he's told you he's going to take you. He'll do it. He is a faithful God. He is an amazing God. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Get ready, get ready. The Lord is in this house. He's on the throne. He's up to something. I want you to lift your hands right now and bless his holy name. And Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're taking us into the promised land. Lord, our skin is going to shine. Maybe not literally, but spiritually, as Brother Clark plays. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, that you have provided. We have had our failures. Oh God, help us to stand before the Red Sea. Help us to, with faith, say it will be parted in Jesus' name. Help us, Father, to get past our failures. Help us, God, to not use any excuses. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to say, show us thy glory. Pray that tonight. Lord, show us thy glory. Help us be parents to our young people, to show them the way that there's something powerful, something amazing about the glory of God. If you want a close encounter for your family in 2019, would you join me as a closing prayer at the altar tonight as they sing tonight? Come on, let's have a close encounter. I believe the bush is burning. I believe God is speaking in this place tonight.
We are standing.
Well, we're standing
on holy ground.
We're standing on holy ground.
And I know all around.
Close encounter with God. A close encounter with God.
Let us pray.
In 2019, my brother, you're before the burning bush. He is the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And your face is shining. Your face is glowing. Because you've been in the glory of the Lord. Oh God, thank you for restoration. We have expectation. Expectation.